Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend's readings are from the fourth Sunday of Lent, and I hope your Lenten journey, my friends, has been good. Let's go to our first reading from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 to 7 and 10 to 13. And before we do that, let's go to our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God this morning? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, my friends, you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." In the same way, Jesse presented seven sons before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest, who is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives." Jesse sent and had the young man brought to them. He was ruddy, a youth handsome to behold and making a splendid appearance. And the Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of 1 Samuel, my friends, we are given a great message today. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge him by his appearance or lofty stature, because I have already rejected him. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart of a man," my friends. What is your heart right now, my friend? Are we a culture who judges other people? How they dress, how they talk, where they live, what kind of car they drive, how much money they make, what their position is. The Lord looks into the heart of a man. And this is something we want to embrace and to emulate the Lord's way of thinking, that he looks into the heart of a person versus to the appearance or to the position in life in corporate America. And very often people in authoritative positions are put up high on a plateau. But the Lord looks into the heart of a man, the heart of a woman. What is in your heart, my friends? Is it love or hatred? Is it generosity or greed? Kindness or meanness? What is in my heart today or in your heart today? And how can we change what's in our heart so that when the Lord looks in, he sees something that pleases him? He sees love versus hatred. He sees generosity versus greed. He sees kindness versus meanness. What is in my heart or your heart is very important to God. And people will look into our eyes. They say the eyes are the window to the soul. And God is looking into our souls each and every moment of the day. And we want to make sure that our hearts are prepared, that they are continuously growing in love for God, in love for other people. The second greatest commandment, to love one another. And God calls us to do it. It's our calling. We are called to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. God calls us, my friends, to put our faith into action and to share that love with other people. And to not judge a man by his position in life, his lofty stature, but the clothes he wears, the cars he drives, the house he lives in, the size of his bank account. God calls us to look into the heart of a man and then to determine where they are, who they are, what is their character. This, my friends, is important so that we're not judging other people, because only God is the judge. And in the Gospel of Matthew, it says this about judging. Stop judging, or you will be judged with the same gauge that you use to measure other people will be measured out to you. So God wants us to stop judging altogether and to never judge a man by his position in life, his lofty stature. But the things, the material things that he owns, he's asking us to grow in faith and to mature, make an assessment based on the heart of a man. And the only way you can see what's in the heart of a man or heart of a woman is through the words and actions that they reveal to us. Are they good words, good actions? Or are they bad words or bad actions? Recently, I was with a few men in a prayer group, and one of the men had a great tendency to use foul language. And I was taken back. On one side of the table, he would raise his hand and pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. And within minutes, foul language was coming from his voice. And I sometimes wonder, you know, how is it possible to have, you know, a kind word and a rough word within minutes? walking on two sides of the street at the same time. God calls us to raise the standard once again. And this, my friends, is important. So I challenge you today to stop judging other people and to be careful, to slow down, to reserve judgment for the Lord Jesus Christ, but to look into the heart of a person through their words and actions that they display visibly, transparently, so that we can measure what's in the heart of a man. Let's go to our second reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness, rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Ephesians, St. Paul tells us that we were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. The transition from where we were to where we are today, going from bad to good, making the great change, the transition. And we are told to live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. And try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. My friends, what is it that you think pleases the Lord Jesus Christ? What God says to do and not to do is very important. So what is it in your mind do you think pleases our Lord, our Father in heaven? And once again, there are many things that we can say in response to that question. Whatever God tells us to do, how to live our life, how to raise our children, how to give respect to other people, to practice the golden rule, to treat others as you would like to be treated, to love one another, to uphold the commandments, to take care of our families, to honor our mother and father. What God says to do and not to do, my friends, if we are in line with that, we are going to please the Lord without question. And it's important because we are called to do it. St. Paul tells us, live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. And he tells us that we were once darkness, and now we are living in the light of the Lord. And it's powerful. So, what is it that you are striving to do today in our fourth week of Lent as we focus on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ coming to us, ready or not, here it comes? What is it that you and I need to do, my friends, to live in the light of the Lord, to get away from the darkness? Where is that darkness coming from? Is it coming from your friends, family members, associates at work? Is it coming from the television, the tablet, the telephone, the internet? Is it coming from circle of people that you frequent with often? In word and action, are you living in the darkness still? Or are you more in the light in the Lord? Live as children of light. Let your light shine, my friends. Turn up the wattage and let your light shine brightly for all to see, so they can see God inside you. The eyes are the window of the soul, and people will see that in your word and actions. Actions speak louder than words. They will see God and your reverence for God in your words and actions. And I challenge you, my friends, to raise the standard, to offer more love, more peace, more serenity, more reverence in God's name in front of other people. The word says to take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. What does your week look like coming up? Are you planning to engage in the fruitless works of darkness? Or are you going to live as a child of light? Which is it? If you need to make changes, I want you to do it now. Don't wait until it's too late and mistakes are made. God's calling us to make the change now. And St. Paul affirms that in this great reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. And we want to produce every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth by living as a child of light. And the word goes on to say this: awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Are you and I asleep, my friends? Are we ignorant to the Word of God and imposing on the Lord's generosity, on His goodness, because we're ignorant to the Word of God, or intentionally avoiding what God says to do and going the opposite way, doing what feels good, WFG? Are we asleep? Or do we know exactly what we're doing and intentionally go the opposite way? Because when we're asleep, God will allow you to go until He's ready to wake you up, and the damage could be done in many, many ways, hurting yourself and other people in your family and friendships. But again, God's word says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You can't buy light. You have to receive it as a gift from Jesus Christ. It says again, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ, Jesus Christ, will give you light. This is why it's so important that we develop a personal relationship with Jesus, that we submit to Him, make Him number one and we're number two. The Lord of Lords, the breath of life, the light of the world, the Lamb of God, the King of Kings. The Lord is there for us. We're in our fourth week of Lent coming up. Only a few weeks until Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, after the crucifixion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I challenge you, my friends, to really become intimate with the Word of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, to grow in faith, to raise yourself up to a higher standard, a better day, where your peace within is at the highest level you've ever seen. It will change your life. And God calls us, my friends, to a better life. Once again, He takes us from darkness into the light and calls us to live as a child of light. Live as children of light. Like-minded people he brings together. He calls us to, once again, to not take part in the fruitless works of darkness. Just a reminder that thousands of people die every year because they're living in darkness, living in sin, addicted to alcohol, drugs, gambling, all kinds of sexually transmitted diseases are, received by the youth today and young adults because of sexual promiscuity. God calls us to not live in darkness, but to raise ourselves up into the light. It's kind of like taking off in a rainstorm as a pilot and climbing through the cloud decks. And at night, the moon is shining brightly and the stars are out as you get over the top deck. And it's powerful. You can see God's hand working. He takes us from the darkness into the light. And when the sun rises in the east after the nighttime, once again, we go from darkness into the light, and God's hand is visible through the raising of the sun each and every morning. So today, I ask you honestly, are you asleep or are you awake? Because God calls us to rise from the dead, and Christ will give us the light that we need to do all things that are good in this world today, based on our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. And we have an opportunity to do it right now. Let's go to our gospel reading. A reading from the book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 to 41. And here it is. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. Then they asked Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he see now? His parents answered and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he can speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, and for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, He is of age, question him. So a second time they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He replied, If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see. So they said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too? They ridiculed him and said, You are that man's disciple? We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from. The man answered and said to him, This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if the one who is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. They answered and said to him, You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us. Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, I do believe, Lord, and he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not also blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, We see, so your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of John today, we're given a great message. When the apostles asked the question, Lord, who sinned that this man was born blind? Him or his parents? And the Lord says, Neither sinned. It is so that the good works of my Father can be shown. And in this message, we see great examples of the good works of the Lord, of the Father, that are displayed. And I want to take you back to 9/11 when that took place, a very tough day for the world, for our nation. But we saw the best people come out to help other people. We see in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus how God gives us the role model for bringing good out of bad. The good works of the Father can be shown. That's why the man was born blind. That's why sometimes we have things going on in the world or in families that are very, very difficult things, and we look at the good that comes out of them. How can we bring the good out of the bad? God calls us to do it, and it is a challenge for each and every one of us, but he sets us up with the role model in the resurrection from the crucifixion, so that the good works of his Father in heaven my Father in heaven, your Father in heaven can be displayed. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll see you next time here on Holy Spirit Radio, and clear for takeoff. Have a great day. God bless. And I challenge you this week to bring the good out of the bad, my friends. That's our show. Have a great day. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.